house fire. And I was, well, last time we wouldn't even be in Denmark. $64,000, a real nice home. Noise, what you put in, that's what you get out of life.
There's a log cabin, I like that.
How's that?
There was a log cabin down there.
Yes, sir, we. You take, like I say, in Fontaine. Different Slaters used to come and talk to me. See, you got nice room for me. I charge you $10 a month. I say, I appreciate it. Say, if you'll have, you'll do all the work for this and that. I had a couple of Slaters now. They say, we ain't gonna charge you nothing. Just anything you feel like, give us something from the store. I say, I appreciate that now. But I say, I'm gonna stay right here out that I can do better. The next thing now, I went and bought me an automobile. I went to what I wanted that time. Different one used to come to try to sell me. Second and all that. I said, no, sir, when I got ready, I'm gonna buy a new one. I went to the Ford dealer that time. I said, I'm ready to buy it. I said, I don't know how to drive. I said, don't worry about it. We're gonna learn you how to drive. So how much is the car? Told me, I said, that's the best. I said, we already know you're gonna pay cash. I said, yes, sir. I'll give you a check. We say, well, we know that's the same thing as cash. And one of them told me, he said, I want to see you. He said, young Morris? I said, I know you're in Eskin. You give me credit for $150 in your store. The balance, give me a check for it. I said, oh, I will. He said, suppose something happened to me. He said, that's all right. I'll take the chance. I said, I didn't ask him for it now. I said, I'll take the chance. I said, how about you learn that to drive? I said, yes, sir. Anytime in the evening, I'll give you the mechanic. But he'll take you out. At least for a week till you know how to drive. I'll give him a check for $350. The car was $500.
So you bought it for $350 and $150 credit
in your store. Right, $500. That was a Ford. That's a 1929 was a fast Ford, too.
How fast did it drive?
Huh?
How fast did it go?
Oh, that was the first car, I'll tell you, and the road used to be terrible. Woo-hoo, still bad. Not as bad as a pedal now, but it was still bad. Yeah. And the next step I made, like I said, I went to go into Augusta for the holidays. That's where I met my wife. I went to see her a couple times. And with me, even then, it's plain talk. And I think I told you about that time, ain't it? Already? Huh? What is it?
I'm sorry, I missed what you were saying. You told me about when you met Ida Bell? Is that what you said? Yeah, you told me before, but tell me now, because we're taping you. Tell it again. What'd you do when you met Ida Bell in what year?
1929. That's Rosh Hashanah. See, the Rosh Hashanah in Kippur sometimes fall in September, sometimes in October. See, it's called the year. The Jewish calendar has a difference in the year and the goyim. Anyway, I went to see her a couple of times. The last time I went there, well, before, I said, now I got to have an answer when I come the next time.
Well, and how many times did you see her before you said that?
Twice.
Yeah. You're going to make her ride fast.
Yeah, don't forget it's 150 miles. That's 300 miles going and coming. At that time, that was big. Yeah, that would be the same thing today, 1,000 miles.
That's right.
Especially for Miles Booker, because Miles Booker had only in mind his business.
That's right.
But music box had to play. So anyway, when I come back, she says, she don't know Mama. I say, all right, Ida Bell. I say, I'm right here today. You might not see me anymore. See, let me talk to my mama. See, she was... My mama had 10 children, but she was the only one. All of them died. And
how old was Ida Bell then?
Ida Bell, when she got married, she was 20 years old. And we went upstairs, that's where she lived. And, oh yeah, and my mama asked her, how you gonna make her see? I told Ida Bell, I don't have anything. Told her. First time I seen her, I said, I don't have anything. Then her mama, the last time now, I said, yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. You brought it up. And Ida Bell was sitting in a chair. I said, I want to hear it now. I said, listen, let me see, what was her name? Miss Taylor. Miss Taylor Andonofsky. I said, listen, I'm young. And I'll do more on that part. Well, yeah, the first thing I say, I got ten good fingers, and they tough, too. But they were tough then, because I worked hard. But I see, Idabella would have to do some part. I'll do 90%, but if she's not willing to do the 10%, I want to know now. I said, let her sit right there where she is. And her mama went to crying, and she went to crying.
You must have had a lot of charm.
Huh?
You must have had a lot of charm.
Yeah, both of them went to crying. Yeah, then her mama told me, said she never heard of a young fella to do that kind of talk. Yeah, I thought
that was part of his charm. That still is part of his charm.
Yes, sir, it's all plain. And not only that. In the meantime, a lady salesman told that lady he lived in Waterboy. That's in South Carolina. So he has a good boy. He's doing good. That's and she had a daughter. They made a date to meet me in Columbia. That's where he lived. Ruben. He didn't know, he knows the family. He's been dead now a long time, the original Ruben. So Ruben come to see me, the old man now. He was a driver. You know what a driver is?
No, what's a driver?
A driver is a wholesaler.
A middle.
That's right. I never messed with it. And that's one thing, anything I bought had to be from the manufacturer. You had better goods for less money. That was my motto. The service sold, so better goods for less money. That was my name when I went to build. The service store. You know, there's three things you must have in any business. You got to have the right goods when people want it. Well displayed. And well priced, especially if you do cash. Now, if you do credit, it could be the price not too much, you'll pay more. And service. All them three things must be combined. If they not combined, you ain't gonna get nowhere. You know, some young people, when they go in business, the first thing they buy now is that. I'm a boss. Put your feet on top. You know what happens to them?
What happens to them?
You go broke. A short time. Somebody buys the desk at a bankruptcy sale. Yes. Yeah, you know what they used to do? Even my own people. Say, Miles, you're working too hard. We can't do that. I say, that's all right. I'm the one doing it. And like I say, in 1930, that thing got that I went to discount my bills. Big merchants. Some of them in New York used to be millionaires, I understand, jumped off of buildings at the time, killing themselves and all that. Oh, yeah, found me when I started in business. Two big merchants that time, they told me I wouldn't last 6 months. I bought them out, 30 and 31.
What did you, so you saved all your money, is that what you said?
I didn't have no expense, I'm telling you, from 3 to 3 hours a week. So I'll say, how you done it?
How much money did you earn in those days? How much money did you earn in a week peddling?
Peddling, that was something else. It's same thing as business. Some weeks I sold more than others. But they never heard of a peddler to discount bills. I even went to discount bills when I was peddling. But after I was in business now, I didn't discount bills because I had to buy more goods. I'll tell you something about that. The man that let me have it, I went out peddling.
The man that let you what?
That let me have the goods, credit. So I went out peddling. I told him I didn't want my brother-in-law to show him, or my brother-in-law, to say, I said, why? I said, I don't want nobody to get started with somebody to stand good for me. I said, if you want to let me have it, all right, I'll go and buy a horse and wagon, otherwise I don't need it. This eagle thing. That was his name. He said, go ahead and buy it. And I send him a card, he send out the goods. Whenever I'm in business now, oh yeah, and I told him. I say, as long as I peddle, then when I go in business, I hope to go in business. Anytime he will have the same goods at the same price, I'll buy from you, from him. And then when I start in business, I ran the first thing and bought him, I forgot how much, by $800 and some odd. When I told him, I said, now you got to give me the very best prices. He said, I know you. And one guy, Schneider, they were big jobbers in Augusta that time. Even when I peddled, he told me one time in his office, he said, young Mars, what the hell, you wouldn't peddle in a young guy with a horse and wagon. He said, why don't you go in business? I said, that's what I'm struggling, that's why I'm doing it. Now, see, well, let's go together. I said, wait a minute. How is it going to bother you much tonight? I said, you know, I got plans. He said, no, sir. I said, Mr. Snyder, I appreciate that. Yes, I heard a better long ago. Which I did. And he was baiting me in the meantime. You see, he knew I was buying from D.C. Goldstein. And I told Mr. Goldstein, see, he's baiting you. You watch. He's going to get rough with you after a while. He shut it out. He was trying to sell me much of that. He said, I couldn't sell. I said, no, sir. I said, he can't sell what I want. I said, you can keep it. Mm-hmm. And he was a millionaire at that time, too. Anyway, when I went in business, I went to D.C. Goldstein and bought $800 and some odd. After I was in business about 6 months, he came to see me in Plantinian. He said, what the heck, you didn't come to see me? Say, anyway, I come to do you some good. I'll let you have up to $2,000 worth of goods. And I'll wait for the money 12 months. I said, Mr. Snyder, I appreciate that. I said, anytime you have good weather, come to see me. Say, you're independent merchant, been in business for years and years, got big size. I said, let them have it. I said, I don't want it. I said, anytime you have good merchandise at the right price, come to see me. You know what, when Dempsey said lost his fight?
Yeah.
What the hell was it?
I really don't know.
He went broke. Say, he lost $150,000 he bet on it. He had to go to prison. He went broke.
He lost it on the fight.
That's what he could say, Clay. But he went 12 months in prison anyway.
He lost all the $150,000 on the fight.
That's what he said. He bet on Jack Dempsey. Yes, sir. I can forget, I can remember what took a long time, but anyway, in the last several years now, I want to do something at home. If I leave it for a minute or two, I can't remember what I wanted to do or wanted to say. I used to have everything in my head, you know, shoes and different things, got numbers, called them lock numbers. I used to have everything in my head. And if I stepped out, I didn't step out much, but if I stepped out for 5 minutes from the store, if anything was sold, I knew it. Yes,
you
sir.
You your inventory in your head, huh?
The numbers, lock numbers. You know, back on, 35 years ago or something like that, I went to Cleveland and I went to see the doctor. Dr. Loman went to ask me different questions, and he said, well, I tell you, you use too much of your head. He said, put it down. I said, you know, I don't know if I ever told you. I said, for my side, I don't have no education. He said, well, I tell you, I hate to tell you now, it's going to get worse after you get older. I ain't did. Yeah, and he did. Yeah, they used to call it the man with the goods. Always had the goods to the rafters. If anybody had good buys, I could use it. The quantity didn't mean anything.
What kind of stuff did you mostly sell in your store?
In the store? Mm-hmm. Well, the most of it was staple merchandise. Overalls, you know what overalls is?
Mm-hmm.
The highest
yeah.
The devil now. I have sold them in the Depression time for 49 cents. Was glad to sell them. Men's overalls, that's for the apron now.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me they're $15 or $16 now.
That's right, because they're fashionable now.
I sold Lee, I know you heard of Lee.
Uh-huh.
Sold them for $1. I think they about $22 or $24 a dozen now.
You still keep up with the prices, huh?
Yeah, Lee. If you bought 12 dozen, they paid the freight on it, too.
How much were shoes then?
Yeah, I used to have sovereign shoes. Good shoes, honest, good, honest shoes. That was a high-priced shoe, about $3.50 retail, $3.98. I have four shiny shoes that sold them for $6 there.
That was expensive. That was
yeah.
A week's pay.
Yes, sir, that was expensive. Hey, you ever heard of Nettleton shoes?
Who?
Nettleton?
Yeah, they even high on, what you call it? Forsyth. They somewhere around New Jersey or New York. And I was in Fontenay, the fella comes to see me. Say, I'm about to give you some shoes. I've never heard of them. I said, if you'll get me the box, the address, say, I'll write them. Sure enough, I wrote him to send me a catalog, and if he talked about what he wanted, that's the first time I ever heard. Now, at that time, they were wholesale over $8 or $9 a pair. That was a high price.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson shoes. Edmund and Clubs, I never hear of them. That's a high price shoes, too. That's one thing that thing got if I order anything, I don't care who they want. If I ask if I can't have to send it right away. I don't know if I told you or not. Yeah, I know you heard of Peanuts. Peanuts. He was
right.
The biggest.
Mm-hmm.
Right to the war, the Second World War. It was hard to get that stuff. So I ordered him a letter. Send them in. I was surprised at that time. Come to see me. Say, well, you know, you got to buy 200 pounds or more. Otherwise, you can't do no business. Say, you got to buy it to a driver. Say, no, I don't care nothing about no driver. At that time, oil, peanuts oil, I don't know if you ever heard of it. They had even base etiquette. You ever heard of it?
Yep.
They're high on it. I said, yeah, I'll buy it. And that time, thank God the big family, they had peanut butter, peanuts, candy, they had candy too. So the truck man from McLean, you ever heard of McLean? McLean Truck Company.
Oh, McLean, yeah.
Yes. As quick as he opened the door, went to play. Oh, he said, I'm in the wrong place. What I got is a supermarket. I said, let me see what you got. He said, it's prepaid, too. I said, yes, sir, bring it in.
So you fed your family peanuts to get the oil?
How's that?
You fed your family peanuts, 200 pounds of peanuts?
Yeah, plenty of it. Yeah, plenty of it.
That's where?
He
used to boil it. That's where it first got his face.
Yeah, that oil, they hardly ever see them in here. They're too high.
Well, you couldn't get oil during
the war. Well, they sent them to me right away, too. Yes, sir, we. He take care of my son-in-law, Buddy. He comes in. He says, oh, I like to have it. Some of my customers want some of that oil. I said, oh, you can have it. He comes in pounds, in cans. Now, there comes in cans at that time. I don't know what they're doing now. And they got face etiquette too, it's marked on the can.
Yeah.
Peanut oil?
Huh?
Passover?
What?
You can't eat peanuts on Passover.
Yeah, peanut oil. They good.
Why can't you eat peanuts on Passover?
Because it's a legume. They don't
yeah, that's what happened. You open the door and say, I'm in the wrong place. They say, let me see what you got. Here's one fella, a banker. Old guy, retired, come to me and said, can you get me some collars? You know, you used to wear collars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you, maybe you did it. I remember that.
What's that?
Shirts without collars, forget collars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, arrow collars, or rain using collars.
Yeah, it was a style. It was a comeback.
That's been a long time ago.
He come back a couple of years ago and it stopped him.
Oh, that's been a long time ago. Anyway, he come to see me and said, can you get me some collars? He said, get, what you call it? I knew the people, because I bought some shirts from them. I said, you give me the style, now the name of it, and I'll order for you. You say, I already had several people say they can't get them. I said, you get me the collar now, and I'll get it for you. They jump out and I send them in a week, they come in. They're still big people, huh?
Yeah.
Their name is Clut Peabody. Clut Peabody, that's the name of them.
What were the average receipts you take in a day?
Well, not every day was the same.
Well, I know. It says over my average.
Yeah, not every day. You know, money was money. If you take in 100 then, it would be the same thing as 2,000 now.
I know.
You know it?
Yeah,
everything was cheap.
But when you first started your store, what did you consider a good day's receipts?
A good day? About $400 on Saturday. Saturday used to be the biggest business.
$400 on a Saturday.
Yes, sir.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good. That's right.
Yeah, even during the... What did you do during the Depression?
How's that?
What did you do during
the Depression? Yeah, that's in the Depression. That's what I'm talking about. The suspenders was a quarter. Almost $49. You just sell a lot of goods.
Yeah,
that's
a hell of a lot of suspenders.
Yeah, that's right. It was back to sub.
How many people did you have working in your store?
At times, two, three on Saturday, about two extra, but the extra ones, the most of them was no good. I'll tell you something about that too. I used to get someone start working and you say, oh, that customer didn't want that. I said, never mind. I said, don't say that. If you're going to work with me, anybody comes in my store, they're a customer. You got freedom right. If you treat them right, they'll buy. If you don't buy, they'll come back and tell the friends. You know, you can advertise, spend all your money you want for advertising. she ain't got the right goods when they want it. The right service, and you're throwing away your money for advertising. Mouth to mouth is the best advertisement you can get. I don't care what anybody says. Just say when anybody hit that door, got a sweaty wall. I call him by the name of Bright, Black, Mama, or anything. He picked up the head when I called him by the name.
What was it like to live in Denmark in 1934? You said both blacks and whites used your store?
It didn't make any difference. My lawyer, when I tell you that, when I moved to Denmark, I was barely 30 years old. Some of them younger and some of them older, Mr. Cunningham. And Mr. Drucker, you're welcome in here. If there's anything we can do for you, say, you know, we go hunt, we fish, and see how about to go with us. We'll show you everything. I say, I appreciate you for inviting me. But I said, here, I don't want you to get offended now. I said, my fishing and hunting place is right here. Then when I get through in here, it's my family. See what's going on up there. Yeah, you can, anything, you can't eat the cake and have it too.
How many kids did you have when you moved to Denmark? How many children did you have?
That's Faye and Teddy. I was the first one going in Denmark. Yeah, it's just what you put in and anything. If you're willing to pay the penalty, regardless what you do, you know, I see some young fellas dream.
Oh, we're in Norway.
Yeah, Norway is right. Yeah, you know, that's my Ruben. I'm telling you, they're starting business in here.
You started business here?
No, a fellow Ruben in Colombia. He's a wholesaler. He's dead now. He's the one that made, I'm talking about something else. He made the arrangement to have dinner in his place, and he invited that lady, the Zaylin, Roller Boy. Right away, she went to talk after dinner. It was in his home. She went to talking business right away with me. To come to Roller Boy, I said, no, sir, my business is first thing. Say, well, how far do you live from Greenwood? I told her. I said, can you come to Greenwood next Sunday? She had a daughter there, Max. I said, I'll do it. When I got there, she had a big mishpacha. They were rich. They come in Buicks. And I just had the thought. So I met the girl. I told her, her name was Bloomer. She's dead. Now, she died, I think, several years ago. I said, I don't know if you want to go in that cheap car. I said, I'll go anywhere with you. I said, what? No, sit down. I said, all right, we'll take a ride. And from Google to McCormick, I said, about 30 or 35 miles. So we just rode, went talking about different things, and we landed in McCormick. And my brother and his wife were still sleeping. So I knocked on the door. They come in. They were surprised to see me with a girl. Anyway, then I took her back. We had dinner there. Oh, it was a big mess for her. And the old lady right away, she wants to see me, talk to me. Say, I'll tell you, I know you need money. I'll give you a check right now for $5,000. Would be the same thing today, at least 50. You hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I say, not only that, she lets say the check is good too. And I say, lady, New Zealand, I'm surprised. I say, plenty of money. See, I know. I said, that's the reason I'm not of them, but I'm of them to you. But if you wear a Bloomer now, I'll buy you a Buick and fix you up a home, too. I said, Miss Ayer, I appreciate that. You got that much confidence. I can use the money and all that. But I said, I'm not for sale. She kept on again and said, I'm ready to give you now. I said, no. See, how much come tomorrow? I said, no, I can't do it. That's already when I saw Ida Bell once, I think. Somewhere or another, somebody told her about it. She went to call me up. I didn't even eat my telephone. Yeah, that's right. She called me up.
Ida Bell called you up?
Yeah, oh yeah.
What'd she say?
Huh? She's ready. Yeah, somebody told her. I had some salesmen or something like that. I don't know. She had some mishpacha, cousins and uncles who used
you
to
come. Sure you didn't tell her?
Huh? What?
I said, are you sure you didn't tell her?
Didn't tell her what?
Tell her about Bloomy?
No, she knew it. You see, that's what's wrong. Yeah, she called me up. It took a good while before they got me to the telephone. See, I didn't have a telephone. The only time I put a telephone in the house, well, I didn't have a house then. Then Fay got a certain age, so they could have it put there. I thought, okay. And she got in touch with me anyway. I don't know how much she paid. I bet it took a half an hour before I got to the telephone. It was some grocery store. I said, all right, I'm coming. And I think that's the time. And I thought, I said, I'm here now, and that's it. That's when both of them went to crying. I said, if she ain't willing to do 10%, I want to know now. Let her sit right there where she is. Yeah, that lady. And I don't want one in Augusta. You used to call him Yusuf the Rebbe. That time in Apatoli, he offered me $5,000 about it. She's been dead a good while, too. And I told him, too, I said, I'm not for sale. Yeah, when I was in Shirley, he gave me an idea. I said, listen, I forgot his name. I said, that was his nickname, Yusuf the Rebbe. I said, you have to ask him first now if I can say the brache. See, I knew he knew it.
When you were in Katus Brezzi, did you go to school? Did you go to Hebrew school there?
Where?
When you lived in Poland.
Poland? Very little. The war broke everything up. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, the war. In a couple of years, 5-6 armies went through to Katus Brezzi. First was Russia and Germany. Then when Germany was leaving, America was helping Poland. Then the Bolsheviks. You ever heard of Bolsheviks?
Mm-hmm.
That's when they killed the Tsar. I reckon you did have heard of the Tsar. He used to be the Nikolai Nikolaevich. That was his name. That was the strongest man at that time before the First War in the world. That Russian Tsar. Yeah, they killed him. That's when the Bolsheviks, and they had different swamp bandits, what the hell they call different swamp, but the Bolsheviks, Trotsky, I know your data heard of Trotsky. He was a Jewish fellow, they killed him too. He was with the Bolsheviks or somebody else. They had patrols or somehow, I forgot the name, different swamps. You know, when they have a revolution, different bandits, no good people, they want the government to belong to them. They have it now in the Arabs in all them places. You know, I tell you something, not many people know, but in the last couple of years, that's a life-saving for Israel that the Arabs is fighting between themselves. Otherwise, they would bunch up on Israel. Not many people know it. You're talking about the education. You know what education I have? It's hard knocks and life. That's the only education I have. Yeah, you take your normal and you crawl. I don't care what you got on. You're going to get the garment dirty first. You keep on crawling, it'll wear out the garment. But I crawl so much, it went through the skin, it went to the bone.
What happened when Ida Bell called you up?
Huh?
Ida Bell called you
up? Yes, she called me up. I told her, all right, I'm coming. I said, you better have the right answer. Because that's it. 300 miles straight, especially for me. The roads used to be so bad, and I had only nothing but business. You see, at that time, and I told my future mother-in-law, but I don't have anything. But I was ready to take over responsibility. You take anybody. I don't care who they are. Don't care how young they are. If you're not ready to take on responsibility, you ain't got no business to get mad. You take some of them, they want what they good out of it, but not work for it, not responsibility. I told her the other day, but is she sleeping?
Yeah.
I said, regardless how old you are, you can be even 14 or 15 years old. If you got the right partner, Bolton is willing to cooperate, to pull together. You see me, you take each of two horses, one on each side, and one is no goodie. The goodie got to pull in too. You see? You understand what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, yeah. So you need to both work together.
Work together, right in harmony. Have a good understanding. And be honest to one another. Have a good understanding before you get married. Yes, yeah, before you get married. That's the trouble with if someone, the only thing they know is well, love, love, love. You know, in Yiddish, they say, when the stomach drops the ground and you're getting hungry, your love goes out the window. I don't know if you ever heard it or not.
So you had a good understanding with Ida Bell before you got married?
She knew it. Absolutely, she knew it. Yeah, when I told her, Mama and both of them went to cry. She said, how are you going to make a living? I said, I'm glad you brought up that question.
That's where I went to grandma's near the community center.
What is that, Norway?
No, it's Denmark.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Denmark, huh? Yeah. That's where I went to high school.
Yeah, Denmark, that's right. Yeah, told me, yeah. Right here, they're going up off a bank.
Where?
Right here. Mr. Tent, it used to be a long time. Tent.
All these places are boarded up.
Yeah, lots of them is empty. That's what it takes. Ain't nobody young, willing to work. You can make it. Yeah, the most of them, lots of young people, the only thing they want is give me. My name is Jimmy. That's where lots of parents are waiting their children. Huh?
Let me go see Denmark.
Yeah, in Denmark.
Oh, that's closing off there.
Yes, sir, we in Denmark, you're right.
Is that Yiddish tailor or a Goyish tailor?
A what?
Tailor shop, I just saw.
Tailor shop, no, it ain't even no tailor shop.
There was a sign there.
Yeah, they had it, but they ain't got it.
This is where the silver meter comes.
That's right. It comes at night, though. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, we.
It's the highlight of the day here, Denmark. Day coming through.
Yeah, when it comes to the real thing now, like I say, when you get hungry, the love goes out the window. Because you didn't have a good understanding
of
that.
No. It says house for sale, there's no house.
It used to be a house. I nearly bought it.
Buy it before it falls down. This is Jude the Bear Force.
Yes, sir. Did you see that house where he was born?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell right here. In, huh?
It's college, isn't it?
No.
Yeah.
Is that in Denver?
That's the Bear Force.
That's their symbol?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you got a belt here?
Yeah, but you're not going to be able to use it because I'm sitting on the...
Oh, that was fine. There's something right here walking.
Yeah, walking.
Yeah, that's you. Yeah, you know, they used to make fun of me, and Mama used to say, you're the only one in Denmark walks. I started walking right after I retired.
Mm-hmm.
And,